Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week we're in Peckham with a gentleman who's used to tasting the finer things in life. A Frenchman widely recognised as Maitre d' and Cupid on Channel 4's First Dates. It's Fred Siriex. Fred, how are you?
I'm very good, Amy. Very, very good.
Thank you for welcoming me to your local park. Seems like you know where you're going.
Yes, I know this park by heart. Isn't it a beautiful park? Look how peaceful it is.
And you know what? We've lucked out on the weather, but your intro does not stop there. He's hosted BBC's Million Pound Menu and travelled across the world with renowned chefs Gordon Ramsay and Gino De Campo as part of their joint ITV series, Gordon, Gino and Fred, on a road trip. That sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. He's an author and used to being in the public eye. But one thing you might not know is his daughter pipped him to the post as a guest on this very podcast before he did. I am, of course, talking about diving sensation Andrea. Fred, have you got used to having a world-class daughter yet?
Yeah, I have actually, because, you know, Andrea has been a world-class diver. I mean, not a world-class diver, but she's been a very good diver since the age of 12, 13 years old, when she was actually competing on a national level and winning competitions. And when she was 15 years old, she came from behind and she won the British Championship. She was the British champion at just 15 years old. Then she was in the Olympics at 16. She was the best Brit. She was seven. And now she's currently the European champion, the Commonwealth champion, the Junior World champion. She's third in the world. And she was the first Brit to ever win a diving medal in the World Championship. But you know, it started when she was 8 years old. There was a talent spotting day at school with a local club. She went, you know, she was a very active young little girl. And they tested her on strengths and flexibility, you know, the kind of stuff that you would need when you're diving or doing gymnastics. She loved it, but who wouldn't? Because, you know, every little girl, every little boy loves jumping in the pool. And before you know it, you're just flipping around, doing all sorts of difficult stuff. And then you are in the Olympics. Just an incredible journey. But, you know, for me, when I think about that, I think about the opportunity that she's had and how lucky she was to be there in the school that she was in at the time when there was a talent spotting day. Because if it wasn't for that, maybe she wouldn't have never realized that dream and become a world-class diver.
It's incredible how you can sometimes fall into these situations. But if you've got that talent, I genuinely believe it will be unearthed somehow. Finding that one thing that you love, most importantly.
But she didn't know she loved it until she was introduced to it by chance.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, although she was good, because, you know, she's sporty, she's strong, she's flexible, but really she's got a will of iron. Her mind is just incredible. And she knows who she is. She knows what she wants. She knows that she wants to be the best diver in the world. All this, you know, when you think about the talent that she had or she has, actually is all down to the hard work and the dedication. Yeah. Because from the age of 11, 12, Andrea was already so dedicated and so focused on diving that sometimes I'd say, okay, let's go here for the weekend, for example. And she would say, no, Daddy, I've got to train on Saturday. I've got to train on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like that. You know, I think that when the work is here and when you want to be good at something and you want to become something, you've got to put in the effort. You've got to put in the hard work. So I recognized that. In the same time, I was thinking, oh God, wouldn't it be nice to go for a weekend here or a weekend there? But she wanted to follow her dream. And she was doing exactly what I was doing. So what can I say? What can I say?
The dream continues. She's recently just qualified for Paris 2024. Home games, essentially. I take it you'll be there in the audience?
Yeah, of course. I mean, she hasn't qualified. She has qualified a spot for Team GB, and now she's going to fight for a spot. I mean, she has qualified with the synchro, I think. If Team GB wouldn't choose her for the synchro, I'd be very, very surprised. Yeah. But she has to fight for her individual place, and that's going to start from January next year. The clock starts to zero.
But on a world level, she's qualified the quota spot.
Yes, she did.
So let's just put a little stamp there. Brilliant start. It must fill you with an immense amount of pride being able to go and watch your daughter.
Yes, I'm always raising my arms like this, you know, but when I'm watching Andrea, I don't say anything. I'm just watching her in silent. I don't say anything. I want to be as anonymous and as invisible as I can in the crowd. Only when the competition is finished do I go and see her and speak to her. And I just want to leave her that space. You know, it's her space, it's her area, and it's up to her to enjoy it. You know, she's got to be the focus of the show.
Do you get nervous watching her?
Sometimes yes, and
it's
sometimes
high,
no.
Fred. That board. Have you been off there?
Yeah, I've trained with Team GB for 5 days. At one point, maybe it was day two or day three, Andrea was on the ground floor and she was looking at me. I was on the 10-meter board. She said to me, "Daddy, you got to relax. I can see your heart beating in your chest." My heart was beating in my chest. I was so petrified. You know, the meaning of the word commitment, when you are on that 10-meter board and you just throw yourself up in the air, because that's the idea. Yeah. You've got to propel yourself as high up as you can so that you can have more height to rotate in order to fall. I was just going like this. And then sometimes I panicked and I was just going, oh, and I've got all these pictures of me going like this up in the air and falling flat. And I was just black and blue. My legs were black and blue.
It is brutal. I think I would get myself as low as possible to then fall.
You haven't done it?
Rather than jump up. I tried it once when I was 12.
Right.
Because they thought it would be, you know, aerial awareness can also contribute to supporting the needs of a professional snowboarder. So yeah, definitely something I've dabbled with. But now, at the age of 32, I don't think I'd...
I think you'd be fine. Because you're still strong, you're still flexible. When I done it, I was 49 or something. And at my age, you know, it's not good news. Your flexibility is gone and your fear just increases. Yeah. I have never been so scared. Even when I was in the ring boxing, you know, just about when the bell rings, you know, when you're about to go for a fight, I wasn't scared as when I did the diving.
Now, you've got two incredibly talented children. I've seen you sparring with your son, Andrea, excelling on a world level. Have your children inspired you to step up your game?
Of course, all the time. I mean, when I see what they are doing, you know, and, you know, for example, if I go on a just a simple walk with my son, the speed that he walks at, I just can't keep up. So it's just inspiring me to go faster and to keep up with him, you know, the little things like that, but also the way they think they're doing things. I think it's very inspiring and it motivates me. And you want to be, you know, as a father, you know, you want to be able to keep up with your kids. You don't want to be left behind.
Setting the bar, they are.
Yes.
Andrea and your son, both physically, are very capable. So obviously it's in the blood. Looking at what they've achieved, does it ever make you question your career path and whether you should have followed that physical attribution that you clearly have as well?
Well, maybe, you know, but you never know what you're going to do in life. And life takes you to places you've never expected to go. Or, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think that for me, the only thing that you can do in life is be positive and be the best that you can be and always be good with people and with the thing that you do. Because invariably, things will start to happen. And the other thing also is you got to dare. We all have a lot of guilt inside us. We all have a lot of fear. But once we are able to understand this guilt and this fear, then I think that the key is then to just go and have faith in ourselves, believe in what we can achieve and just go for it. You know, that's the only thing you can do because you really never know what life is going to throw at you and you've got to be ready for anything.
Your current lifestyle, your job takes you all over the world. It puts you in a multitude of different scenarios. How important is your wellness regime to being the best version of you?
Well, that's key. I mean, I couldn't start a day without any physical activity. For me, that's very important. You know, as soon as I wake up, the first thing I want to do is I want to go and exercise. And I mix up my training all the time. Now, this morning, I was cycling for 20 minutes. Then I did another 20-minute session on weights, cold shower, coffee, and then I'm coming to meet you. You know, but it's also about how you eat. Yeah. And the kind of diet that you have, whether you eat seasonal produce, the kind of produce that you eat, you know, instead of having tinned or prepacked meal and stuff like that, cook yourself, make sure it's fresh, make sure it's tasty, you know, drink lots of water. This is just so important. You know, for me, the sport that I do, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, this is my space. This is where I can concentrate. This is where it's a bit like a sort of a meditation in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I get into my zone. Very often I don't listen to music. It's just about the sound of my heart beating inside my chest and my blood pumping inside my vein. You know, I'm just pow, pow, pow. And I love to feel my heart race, you know, and to go to a level of 150, 160 beat per minute, you know, and slow it down and bring it back up again. Yeah. I get excited by that.
I can really, really resonate with that. And my routine this morning was much the same. Get up, get out, have a run, good coffee. And you feel like before the day's even begun, you've owned your time.
You've got the energy.
A huge sense of accomplishment as
well.
That's
right.
Tell us about the boxing. I've seen you sparring with your son. There's more to boxing than meets the eye, and it does seem to be one of those things which is on trend, right? It's cool to do. But I've recently been bitten by the bug, and the mental agility required, it's addictive.
Yeah, because you know, with boxing, it's obviously it's very physical. But the mental side of boxing is very important, and just as important as the physical side of it. And the other aspect of it is about the confidence and the self-belief. That is key. And now that you've started boxing, you know, I was watching your video the other day when you were doing the pad work. I think you should do a fight. I think you should contact the Misfit Boxing.
Yeah.
Get onto a white collar card and just do a fight. You've got to train for, at the very minimum, 3 months.
Okay.
And it's going to be a very different experience for you to go into the boxing ring, the boxing gym, and train for a fight. Because suddenly it's not something that you do leisurely. You are really going to get into the essence of boxing, into what it means. And you know, I think that for me, you know, with boxing, you know, it's very much linked to philosophy. You know, if you think about the Greek philosophers, like Socrates, for example, was one of the greatest philosophers ever. But Socrates was also a fighter. I mean, you know, he was taking part in battles, you know, fighting people with a sword. The Greeks were boxing, you know, so it's not inconceivable to be both a philosopher and a thinker and a humanist, as well as a fighter and a boxer. And I like that duality like this.
It's a beautiful symphony where two worlds collide.
Yes, it is. It is indeed, because it's about bringing everything together. The amount of concentration, the amount of thinking that you've got to do in a ring is just insane. But you've got to be fit, you've got to be super fit, and you've got to know what you're doing.
That's, I think, the biggest thing. And that's for me recently. I started boxing back in March. Myself and my best friend committed to once a week. And initially I was like, I just want to hit it really hard and I want to sweat. And in the last 3 weeks, that's changed to, I want to understand this and I want to be challenged mentally, because it's giving me this new sense of physical high.
It is. It's a physical high. But you know what it is about boxing also? It's about the basics.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks that they can do it because everybody's at a fight when they were at school, or they were pushed, or they pushed somebody. But it's about your stance. It's about your leg work. It's about your agility. It's about the positioning that you have, you know, the combination that you're able to throw. Because at the end of the day,
it's a jab,
the right hand, the hook.
Give me a combo. I'll do the patting.
Okay.
You're calling the shots.
All right. Okay. One, two. So are you left-handed or right-handed? If you do 1-2, yeah, look, 1-2, 1-2-3. Yeah, go. Go, woo!
Oh. It's so quick though. It's not quick yet.
It's got to be quick. You've got to have the reflexes. But you know, the thing is though, if you don't box and think that you're going to have a punch coming into your face. I once did a conference where basically I was doing pad work with the delegates. And what I did is this, right? I did pad work like them.
Yeah.
So, okay. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2-3. So you're a bit tense, right?
Yeah,
you're a bit tense. You've got to loosen up a little bit.
I mean, I do have a jacket on. But
so,
yeah.
But now I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you back. So you've got to have to protect yourself. Okay, 1-2. 1-2. You see, suddenly you're thinking differently because you know the punches are going to come.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The basics are very important, but the basics in life are the same, whether, you know, boxing is such a metaphor for life. If you're running a restaurant, for example, and you are coming to a restaurant and you're just about to meet the receptionist, what you want is you want somebody to see you, to see, smile and say hello to you before they see, smile, say hello to you.
Yeah.
Because it's your job, as somebody who's working in a restaurant, to be charming first. It's your job to make people feel welcome. Right? It's your job to be on the front foot. And in boxing, it's exactly the same. You've got to be on the front foot, because if you're not on the front foot, the only way to win is if you punch. If you are not punching, if you are just defending, you can only draw or lose. And you are here to win. That's what we're here to do.
I like how you've correlated the two worlds. Front facing, maitre d', boxing. Talk to us about that, the start of your career and where you are now, because it's quite an unusual career trajectory.
Well, I've worked in a restaurant business all my life. I decided to work in a restaurant business when I was 15. The good thing about the decision that I made is I didn't have any doubt about what I wanted to do. You know, I speak to a lot of young people, you know, and very often people don't know what they want to do. They're unsure about the path that they want to take in life, because they could go here, they could go there. I just wanted to be the best waiter that I could be.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work with the best people in the best restaurants, in the best hotel. I wanted to be in the Premier League of restaurants. That's what I wanted to be. And I wanted to be the top scorer. That's the kind of approach that I had. And when I came to the UK in 1992, I worked in at the time, the best restaurant that there was in the country, just got a 3 Michelin star. It was world famous. It was incredible. In life, everything is the same. If you do well somewhere, if you're good at something, if you impress people, if you've got a good reputation, then this is your calling card. You don't have to send your CV. You just say, hey, this is me. And somebody has already called to recommend you and you get the second job and so on and so forth. So that's what I did. And I progressed from basically washing plates to running multi-million pound business with 100 staff to look after. The thing that I really enjoyed is the more that I progressed in my job and the more I enjoyed it, because the more there was things to do. And then, you know, because hospitality restaurant has a very bad reputation, you know, it's either for stupid people or foreigners or both. If you're stupid, you can be a chef. And if you're really stupid, you can be front of house. That's what people think. But actually, when you're running a restaurant, it's not just carrying plates and describing food to people. You've got to run a business. It's about HR, it's about marketing, it's about operation, it's about your PR, it's about your strategy. How are you going to fill up your business and make sure that you've got guests coming to your restaurant and keep coming back? So there's so much to do. And, you know, when I did the transition, I mean, it was kind of a soft transition with television, because I started television because of charity work that I was doing, and the BBC heard about it. And then there was a show called Service, which I did in 2011 with Michel Roux. And then I liked the television world. I really enjoyed it. So I thought, I'm going to pursue that. And I did. So I did little things here and there. Then First Dates came and I enjoyed it even more after First Date. And I thought, I'm going to carry on. There I am. I just pursued a dream, if you like. And I saw an opportunity and I thought to myself, I like doing that. That's the thing. The point is, I enjoy it. Right?
Yeah.
I enjoy meeting people. You know, when you work in this industry, you know, today I'm with you, for example, and, you know, you're an athlete, you know, you're doing a very quite unique sports. And it's interesting because you meet people who are very different from you, who've done different things. And all this makes you all the more richer and more experienced.
Yeah.
And you can use this experience everywhere, you know?
That's what I found about this podcast is it takes me, I've never been to Peckham before. I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's taking me to all four corners of the UK and beyond. And every single time I have a conversation with someone, I learn something. And that's a beautiful thing, to come away with that new knowledge.
This is it.
Talk to me a bit about First Dates. You must have seen some horror stories when it comes to dates and have some very good advice for the not to do's.
The horror story really on First Date is when somebody want to kiss somebody and somebody else doesn't want to kiss them. That's the horror story for me, you know, and especially if, you know, you got somebody who believes that it's on.
Yeah.
But somehow, because people keep their cards very close to their chest when you go dating, you don't even know. You know, with dating, I think there's two things. There's people are afraid to hurt others, but also they are afraid to be hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of dynamic that you see play in the restaurants when people are having a date.
Do you have any advice for me then?
Well, you're single.
I'm single.
What's going on, Amy?
I don't know, Fred. I need your help.
Well, you don't meet any guys?
It's hard to meet people. It's
really
so hard, yeah.
Are you on an app?
I've dabbled on the apps, but they just don't seem to bring up the gold.
Not really finding the gold.
But if I was on a date, or in fact, if anybody was on a date, would your advice be to keep your cards close to your chest? Or do you think it's important to be more expressive?
And be open and vulnerable. You just have to say it as
it is. To be you.
Yeah, you got to be you. You got to be honest. And if they don't like you, or if it doesn't work for them, it's on them.
Yeah.
You move on to the next one.
I agree.
There are so many people on this earth. There's going to be bound to be at least one.
Yeah.
At least, at the very, very least, you're going to find somebody that you like. But I think, you know, it's a case of wanting to be open, but also knowing what you're looking for.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? Because, you know, we are all brought up with this idea of the Disney movie, you know, the prince and the princess, and they live happily ever after, and they have 2.5 kids and a dog. Life is not like that.
No.
Life is not like that at all. So we've got to be honest with ourselves and with others. We have to understand and know there is no normal.
No,
nothing
not.
Is not normal, but nothing is normal. Everybody is unique, and everybody has their own idea about what they want and how they want to live life. And it might work for him or for her or for them, but it works for you and it works for your partner. In that case, it's fine. Live and let live. You know, and that's why I love the French ideals of liberté, égalité, fraternité. Liberty, equality, fraternité. We're all free, we're all equal, and we're all brothers. And I like that.
I love the last one. We're all brothers.
Yeah, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, of the world, hey?
Yes, and look at this spot here. I used to run from this tree there
to
the top And I used to do all sorts of sprints there, and I was killer.
Used? Why the word used?
Well, because my knees are gone.
Okay.
I've had a double meniscus operation at Christmas, and now running is gone for me. I used to run everywhere. I used to leave the house and go for 3 hours. I used to be like Forrest Gump. I love running. I was getting so high on running, but unfortunately my knees are gone now and I just can't do it.
Is that purely because of running?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really used to run a lot.
Okay, and, so this is extreme.
Yeah, I mean, the last run I did was 42 miles. And when I did it, I thought to myself,
oh, that's ultra marathon.
I've got to stop because what am I going to do next? 50, 100 miles? What's the point? What is the point? I've done it now.
Yeah, done. Box ticked.
Yes, it.
Boxing, cycling. All of the other things, right? There's always options.
Well, you know, the reason why I like running is because it's just me. For when I think about cycling, you've got to have the equipment.
Yeah, you do.
But the running is just me. The boxing is just me. Yeah. And I like that because it's about purity. It's about truth. You know, am I good enough? Am I confident enough? Can I do it? Am I fit enough? And that's what it's about. It's about not being able to lie to yourself and to others. And that's what I like.
Okay, I've got one for you.
Go on, then.
On running.
Yeah.
It's just you and the road, but let's open running up, make it more social. What do you think about a running date? How does that sit with you?
Of course, of course.
I think things like that are great because then you're opening somebody up and you're instantly seeing the true version of them. No makeup.
What about you doing a sparring session with a potential?
Potential husband.
Yeah.
Have you got one for me?
Well, it may not be a husband, you see, because you are
that's the problem.
You are putting
too much pressure.
You are putting the hawks before the cart.
Yes.
Let's see how it goes because it takes time to know people. It takes time to trust people. So get to know him, find out who he is, whether he's worth the time that you want to invest in him. And then but take it easy and just enjoy. Enjoy the moment. You're 32, you're so young. You're so young. Don't think about this.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Brilliant. I'm gonna come away with that stamped on my chest. Don't think about it.
But
so
tell
let's
me, when
go.
You go when you go online and you go and on these dating apps, do you spend a long time talking to people? Do you message forever? Or
no,
what do you do?
See, I don't love just sitting on my phone going through these apps. I would much prefer to be out and meet someone organically. But I think for these apps to work, you have to spend a considerable amount of time scrolling. And
but if you find somebody that you like,
I would just want to meet them straight away.
100%. You have a quick chat, you know, three messages.
Cool.
Shall
see
we meet?
On Wednesday.
Yeah, let's meet in the
little
park.
Little coffee, little walk. Job
that's
done.
It. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's the vibe I'm on.
Yeah, because when I grew up,
I just need to go on the apps more.
When I grew up, when I was 20, you know, you'd meet people in a bar, in a club.
That's
you go and chat to a girl. She's there. She's having a drink. Say, hey, what are you? Do you want a drink? And then blah blah blah. It works or it doesn't work. That's the way you did it.
Okay, let's go from dating.
Yeah.
To being married. You've recently just done a show, The Wedding Planner.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that. Sarah Davies, mutual friend.
Yeah.
I'm actually running with her tomorrow.
Oh, good. Say hello to her. I was doing a live last night. I saw that you came
on. I came on. I had a little look.
Yeah. It was going so fast. I wasn't able to speak to Sarah and concentrate on what I wanted to say and look at the question and everybody that was there.
It's a good place to be. People want to hear your advice, Fred.
Well, it's the ultimate wedding planner. So it's a wedding competition. It's basically we are judging 8 wedding planners who want to become the best wedding planners in the UK. So they got 6 weddings. To show what they've got. As we are progressing through the competition and through the different weddings, people are eliminated. And then at the end, there's only one who's going to win the ultimate wedding planner competition. It's a great show. What's fantastic is I think we can all relate to it. And it's beautiful. It's warm at heart because it's the couples, you know, who are getting married. They are celebrating their life together and their relationship, all their friends and family. Behind that, you know, you've got this competition with these planners who are working their socks off to pull up this wedding, you know, on brief, on time, on budget. And you've got 3 judges with Sarah, Raj and myself who are judging them on their performance. Very refreshing, and I like it because it's lighthearted, it's serious, it's very business-like. But in the same time, yesterday I was watching the show, you know, and when Sam and Ben got married and you could see what it meant to them and how beautiful it was. And all the weddings are different because every couple wants something different. The first one wanted a wedding in a Concord hangar in Manchester. The second one was on their farm. So every single wedding is totally different. And that's great.
That's cool. Very, very cool. And that's on
BBC Two. At 9 o'clock. But it's also on the BBC iPlayer.
Very good. Good to know. In case there's a slow release on this podcast, you can go back.
That's right.
And watch it on the iPlayer. Love
That's
that.
Right.
You've worked on a fair few television shows. Is there one in particular that stands out, that served you personally, that's been extremely fulfilling?
You know, all the shows that I've done are very different.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about my TV career, is that I don't do two things the same.
Yeah.
And that's what's brilliant, because every time you're learning, every time you have to adapt, but also you enjoy it for what it is. Like, for example, when I do Remarkable Places to Eat, where I go in beautiful locations with foodies and chefs who take me to the best places to eat, basically to, yeah. you know, take me to the places in their little black book. And we find out why these restaurants are so amazing and what it takes to run a restaurant like this. You know, this is very much what I do in the restaurant business, because this is the kind of thing I've been doing for years. Discovering places, suppliers, talking to people, discovering new product, because you bring it back to your restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, it's about making your restaurant relevant and exciting your guests with fresh new things, you know, so that they can come back and you can run a successful business. So that's one type of a show. You can do The Ultimate Wedding Planner, Gordon, Gino and Fred. They're all different.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing the same thing. It's about television. It's about entertainment. Television, media world is about entertainment. If you can't entertain, if you can't connect with people, with the audience,
it's
not going to work.
Yeah.
But for me, it's about fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's about the fun that I'm having. And I'm really enjoying it.
Is there any moment from your Fred, Gino? No, wrong way around. It should be Fred first, right?
Doesn't really matter, really.
From that, because there's a lot of traveling involved in that. And that's where, for me, when I'm traveling, and this is the shame about your knees, when I'm away on tour or doing various jobs, the running for me opens up a total new network of roads and opportunity to see a city or a place in a mm-hmm. totally different light. Has it taken you to any places where...
Yeah, but you know, I love walking.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I can't run at the moment. I mean, I can't run anymore, full stop, because I just don't want to bugger my knees any more than they
yeah.
are. But I can walk. And I'm a hard walker. I'm a fast-paced walker. So I can just go and walk. Can't run, but I can walk.
No,
the only thing
matter.
Is, if you want to get a workout of your walking, you know, I mean, you could do a 5K or a 10K, but if you are walking, you're going to go a bit further, you know, in order
yeah.
to get the
it's
workout.
Time,
yeah,
it?
It's just time. In and around here,
yeah.
I mean, within half an hour here, you are in the countryside, you're in Kent,
yeah,
you know,
that's
and you
incredible.
Are in some unspoiled, beautiful places where you don't see a soul.
That's so, the next TV show, Fred's Best Places to Walk.
Yeah, why not?
Let's
we'll do
go.
It together.
Yeah, let's go. I've not walked in Kent for a while. Maybe we should have walked to Kent today. In fact, there you go. That's the new series. How far can we walk?
Yeah.
Walk and talk.
But look at this this park. Isn't it beautiful?
And
what I like is there's so many different areas, you know. Like here, for example, we're in this very kind of secluded area. There's lots of flowers and the trees are low. And you go over there and this is where you can play football and have a suntan, you know. You see some guys
yeah,
that was coming. They were all in their swimsuit, you know, sunbathing in Peckham.
Yeah, they had their budgie smugglers on.
Yeah, they had.
We should have bought those today and the boxing gloves.
That's it. Next time.
Next time. I'd love to have a little
Well,
spa
my
with
boxing
you.
Gym is down the road.
Perfect.
We go there and...
And then we're going to throw ourselves
we have
off
a spa.
The diving board as well.
Are you going to do a white collar fight?
Have you done one?
Fred? Yeah. I lost, sadly.
Okay.
But
were you scared at all? Because for me, it scares me. I've done
you get scared, of course.
A lot in my time where I've put myself physically on the limit and I'm like, do I want to do it again? That's
Well,
that's
the elephant in the room in boxing is death or very serious injury, brain injury.
Yeah.
This is the elephant in the room and it's very real and very serious. And in saying that, I have been boxing for years, sparring every single week, hard rounds, 10 rounds in a row, you know, just sparring.
Yeah.
And but I did not think about it. Now that I'm a bit older, you know, I spar with my son.
Yeah.
But it's a very different kind of sparring. Of course, I'm not going to be punching him on the head, but he's pushing me to the limit. He's really trying to knock me out. But if I can't handle my son, this is it, I've got to stop. So at the moment, you know, I've got the age, I've got the experience for me.
Yep.
He can come, he's not going to get me.
Fist up, right?
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with Monday?
You know, Monday to Sunday is a day of the week and I'm alive 24/7, 365. So whether I wake up on a Monday at 7 o'clock or a Sunday at 7 o'clock, it's all living.
Doesn't matter.
And I'm alive and I'm enjoying life. And every day I wake up and I think, yes, another day I'm alive and I'm well, I'm healthy, it's good. I'm hungry, I want to eat, I want to have fun.
It's incredible to have that mindset. This past week, I've had this burning desire to wake up where you're excited to be alive. To me, it sounds like you feel like that 365 days a year.
I do, but it's not easy. It's something that you have to train yourself to do. Just like, you know, we condition our body when we do sports, any kind of sports. You condition your mind to be like this. And, you know, I'm 51, Amy. You know, this is not something that happened overnight. You know, I have talked to myself endlessly, day in and day out. And I've gone through, you know, various stages in my mind, you know, throughout my life. This is a state of mind that I prefer and a state of mind that works for me. But it's not something that just happens. I make it happen.
How?
And I just talk to myself. I just talk to myself and I tell myself, this is what I've got to do. And you know, we all have, I think it's the best thing is to have happy thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
But we all have these negative down thoughts, you know, that just bring us down. And it's the ability to recognize those thoughts and the ability that we have to chase them away. And there is different techniques for this, but you just have to, you know, it's one thing to talk about it because it's a bit like philosophy, but it's about living it on a daily basis in being able to do what you say.
Action, making action. So for those people that might be listening to this podcast and they're thinking, oh, well, it's easy to say that and it's easy to think like that. How have you managed to action that thought process? And what one piece of advice would you give to those that are struggling with that mindset?
You can't give up. You've got to keep going and you've got to think about, what is it that you want? What is your vision? What is it that you want? How do you want to be inside yourself? What kind of person do you want to be? And then once you understand that, then you need to work towards it. And sometimes you're going to fail, you're going to disappoint yourself, but you can't beat yourself up. You got to go again, you got to get up, dust yourself up and keep going and keep thinking in the way that you want to think. So you create your own thoughts. You're in charge of the narrative. It's up to you. You're in charge of your own life, of your own thoughts. Nobody else is.
I've got a funny one for you.
Go on,
I see you're a wine ambassador.
Yes.
That surely is a license to drink.
To drink. License to drink.
endless glasses of wine.
Yeah.
So after a few glasses of wine, a late night.
I like dancing on the tables.
There you go. That's
what
the
I
answer.
Like to do.
There's the fun.
Bring it. And my daughter is always like, oh my God, what are you doing? This is so embarrassing.
What kind of dancing are you doing, Fred?
Dancing on the tables.
Yeah, but what style?
Well, just like the daddy style who doesn't care what you think
style.
Yeah, like that.
Love that. And then post-dancing daddy style, you've got a little bit of a heavy head. You've had a few glasses of wine. How do you get up and retain that same mindset to continue? Or do you let yourself come off the gas?
No,
you've got
to do it. No.
Gas is on, yeah?
I've got to be like a machine.
Whoa.
You know, I cannot let myself down. Otherwise, I say one thing and I do another.
Okay.
I've got to live by my vision. I've got to live by my values. You live and die by the sword, and that's what I do.
I freaking love that. That's fired me up to go dancing, have a few bevvies, and get up and go sparring.
Yeah, no, you've got to do
that's
it.
That's what I'm going to do on Sunday. I'm
nice
going to be there
one.
At the gong, chucking it. Fred, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've definitely taken away a lot from that personally, even if it's just the dating advice.
Oh, thank you. High five.
But your endless source of energy and inspiration and all around good vibes. It really, truly is infectious. Monday Mile listeners, I really hope you enjoyed that one because I freaking loved it. It is a wrap.